In the book of John, chapter 16, and verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Peter said, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish." Peter wrote again, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." "There has no temptation," wrote Paul, "taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it." Peter says, "Do not think it strange, the fiery trials which is to try you." Paul said, "It's such as common to man." The children of God are all subject to trials and temptations. Some of them are tempted more than others. I am persuaded that there is not one will ever enter heaven without having endured some trials and temptations. If anyone could have escaped, surely it would have been the firstborn among many brethren. From the waters of his baptism into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the Apostle Paul informs us that he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. I can hear the Lord now saying to all of us, "If I, your Master and Lord, have been tempted, you must not expect to escape temptation. For the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." Jesus informed us that he was hated of the world, and he tells us we also would be hated of the world. He says, "If they hate me, they will hate you." So, as we go through this world and we find the enemy looking at us with hate in their hearts, hate in their minds, just say, "They also hated my Lord. They will also hate me." The man who believes that he is above, temptation, that he is above the trials of the earth, can never pray the Lord's prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." And you know something? Because the devil thinks it's worth his while to tempt us, we may conclude that there is something within us that is temptable. Some of you who are listening may be saying, "But I have been greatly troubled because I have been tempted." I know that some of you are greatly troubled because you have been tempted. Every trial that comes to us has in it some kind of temptation, either to doubt or murmur or use the wrong means to escape our trials. To the child of God, the most grievous thing is that sometimes he is tempted to do or say things which he utterly hates. He has set before him in a very pleasant form sins which are hated by him. Yet Satan comes and holds before the child of God the unclean meat, the forbidden fruit, which he will never touch. The devil will also come to the child of God and put in their minds blasphemous thoughts. And even when some have tried to pray, it happened that their thoughts were the very opposite of devotional and worshipful thoughts. A little noise in the street can draw your mind from communion with God. And almost before you are aware of it, your thoughts, like wild horses, are galloping out across the hills. And you are wondering, can I get them back again? The true child of God cannot bear the poison breath of sin. When he finds that sin stands knocking at his door, shouting under his windows, pestering him day and night, he is grievously troubled. But I want to remind you that there is no sin in being tempted. There is no sin in being tempted. The sin is that of the tempter, not of the tempted. If you resist the temptation, there is something praiseworthy about that. You're not blameworthy for thoughts that grieve you. The sin is your yielding to the temptation, but you can stand against it. Let me comfort you with this knowledge that those trials and temptations that come to you are only such as have been endured by your fellow Christians. I know it's tempting to think that you are traveling this road alone. But if you would search out that trail your own, you will discover the footprints of some of the best of God's servants who have passed along that same weary way. You may think that this way that you are traveling is a dark way. You may even call it the cutthroat lane. Oh, but you will find that apostles have been along that same way. Believers who have become martyrs have walked that same road. And the best of God's saints have been tempted just as you are right now. Oh, but you say, I've been tempted to even take my life. Friend, you're not the only one of God's saints that the devil has put that thought in their mind. You can overcome that. These same saints are still living and thriving today because they overcame by their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb.
I could see the pain in your eyes, despair upon your face. It really touched my heart when you asked me to pray. I took you to the Father, but couldn't find words to say. So I yielded to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prayed. He felt your grief and sorrow that I could not comprehend. He went before the Father and made him understand. And there, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy Spirit prayed. He was sent here as our teacher, comforter and friend. He talks to God in language no foe can understand. On your behalf he took my words, spoke them in his way. And Jesus interceded when the Holy Spirit prayed. Yeah. sorrow that I could not comprehend. He went before the Father and made him understand. And there, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy Spirit prayed. He felt grief and sorrow that I could not comprehend. He went before the Father and made him understand. And there, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy Spirit prayed. There, in that holy place, your need was laid. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy